Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The only thing better, Sue, than a Friday?
What? Saturday?
Well, no, a Friday when you're going on vacation.
I forgot about that.
Well, you just went on vacation, although you kind of had a staycation.
Yeah,
right?
It's
you
didn't not go quite anywhere. As fun, but it's productive.
Captiva Island, that's our destination. Have you been down there?
I haven't.
I was in Sanibel one time, went to Captiva. They have beautiful sunsets there.
Oh, that's nice.
And yeah, I'm
suppose
looking forward to it.
Suppose you'll tweet that, and then we'll look at it.
Oh,
that's great.
Probably
it's
some
story.
Social media sunsets for sure, so I'm looking forward to it. I think I'm going to play golf with Rainford, too, when I'm down there.
Oh, that's okay.
Because I just picked up the clubs. Let's bring Dan Reardon into the conversation, getting an Open Championship update. Dan, I finally played this week after taking a two-month break. People would ask, well, why did you take a two-month break? Because I suck at golf, okay, and I needed to take a two-month break. But how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing fine. Probably headed out to play nine holes a little later this afternoon.
That's awesome. That's what I did at Forest Hills the other day. Nine was a good way to kind of get back into it. But some of the things happening overseas right now are pretty interesting. This has been a great tournament so far.
It has been a good tournament, and the way it shapes up, it should be a really entertaining weekend. You know, we talked on Wednesday, and I said if the wind was up, the big hitters might struggle on the golf course, and that was the case on Thursday when the guys that keep the ball in the air for a long time all hovered around par. But the wind was down today, and those big names climbed the leaderboard. You have Dustin Johnson, you have Brooks Koepka and John Rahm all climbed into contention in the calmer conditions. Now, the top of the leaderboard, three tacticians, Lewis Oosthuizen, Colin Morikawa, and Jordan Spieth. I'm not saying they don't hit the ball a long way, but they're not noted for their length. They're noted for the way they handled themselves around the golf course. So you have that contrast in place just among those players going into the weekend. And the forecast for the weekend is very little wind, high skies, and that will mean the greens will dry out a little bit, and we'll see a third golf course starting tomorrow, which is one that the ball is going to run a little bit when it lands on the putting surfaces.
Maybe I'm getting this in reverse, but I thought I saw a graphic earlier today when I was watching that the front nine was, you know, in birdie territory, and the back nine was like plus 90 on the average. I don't know, maybe I'm reversing that, but the back nine and the front nine are playing very differently, aren't they?
The harder holes are on the opening nine. That is correct. Now, some of that, you know, I told you on Wednesday that the golf course goes various directions. That it's not a north-south or east-west kind of golf course. So some of that would be tied a little bit to wind conditions, depending on whether those groups of holes circle a particular way or not. But also know that at the beginning of the round, players are going to struggle typically at the beginning of the round. And because there's only two par fives on this golf course, you don't have the sort of automatic birdie holes available to you. But, yeah, the start has been more challenging than the finish. Even though 18 is noted as one of the harder finishing holes that they have in the British rotation, it hasn't really played that way. It hasn't stung the field. One quick note about Oosthuizen. Over the first 2 days, he's hit 92% of the fairways. If he can do that on the weekend, as good a player as he is, he's certainly going to be in the mix on Sunday.
So he looks very, very relaxed. But here's what I would say. Dustin Johnson sitting only four strokes behind. And even Koepka right now, who's playing pretty well, is at minus five. I think a lot can still happen. But, Dan, you got big. And, by the way, DeChambeau, we talked about the whole Brooksy DeChambeau dust-up with Frank Cusumano. Bryson did make the cut, but he's sitting pretty low, I guess, tied for 65th at plus one right now. But, Dan, there's a lot of big names that didn't make the cut this weekend.
Not as many, though, as you might expect because of the way scoring went today. And going back to the line about DeChambeau, I know you quoted Koepka, you played that cut from him. I don't know if you saw that Colin Morikawa, after his round today, said, "I love my TaylorMade clubs." Other players are getting into this as well.
Well, let me play that just so people know what we're talking about. So here's DeChambeau yesterday talking about his round.
I can hit it down the middle of the fairway. That's great. But again, with the driver right now, the driver sucks. It's not a good face for me, and we're still trying to figure out how to make it good on the miss hits.
Okay, so that's one issue, kind of ripping on the sponsor. Then Koepka says,
"Yeah, how about eight birdies on the card for Brooks Koepka, including three in a row to finish your round? This golf course can keep you off balance, but the conditions were favorable today. Did you feel like you could be a little more aggressive out there?"
Yeah, I thought the wind died down compared to yesterday. I didn't think it was as bad, so you could be a little bit more aggressive. Drove the ball great. Love my driver.
That's great. Sue, can you say what you think of – Sue's a huge fan of Bryson's, and Jane was too. I mean, I think that the perception from people, Dan, and this is accurate, that my wife's the same way, and she does follow golf. People don't like him because he comes off like a little I can't say the word I want to use on
Dan,
the radio.
Dan, it's the hat.
It is
you
the hat.
You know what I mean? It's the attitude. I don't know. And we may be just guessing at something that's not there. You know what I mean? Are we wrong?
Besides the Koepka thing, Dan, is he well-liked by other players? I don't even know.
I would say no. First of all, he is noted for slow play, and players hate players that play slowly.
Right.
And the reactions we got after the comments yesterday suggest Justin Thomas took after him as well on Twitter. A couple of things about equipment, and specifically one about Bryson. My concern about Bryson is, after his U.S. Open collapse on the final day at Torrey Pines, he complained about everything other than the way he played. He said he played well. And over the first 2 days of this championship, he's talking about the equipment rather than the way he plays. I think that's a weakness in a player. I think that you have to own up to the fact, you know, Mark, you said you took 2 months off because the golf game hated you, okay? The golf game hates everybody at some point in time, but you just got to live with that and know that's part of the game. And then another note on equipment I think is very interesting. Colin Morikawa, after playing last week at the Scottish Open, took his 7, 8, and 9 iron out of his bag and replaced it with clubs that are more forgiving because he was hitting too many shots off center, and he put in three different clubs that were totally different than he's playing through the rest of his bag. And then on the greens, he made another change. He went to conventional putting on long putts, and he uses the claw on short putts. Well, it worked today. He shot 64.
Yeah, he's sitting in second place at 9-under right now. Jordan Spieth is in third at minus 8. Then you have DJ, Scottie Scheffler, Dylan Fratelli, who's having a pretty good weekend so far. I've never heard of Justin Harding, but he's tied for 7th. And then a couple other guys who are seemingly not big names, like Marcel Siem and Daniel Van Tonder. Don't know those guys.
But Koepka and Rahm are at 5-under, and I mentioned all three of those players at the top have won majors, so you would not expect all three to come back. But over 36 holes, that's plenty of space for these guys who are proven winners and have, you know, superior ball-striking ability to make a move on this leaderboard. That's why I said I think the weekend will be very entertaining because weather is not going to be an issue in the sense of hurting any of the players, but it will be an issue in the sense it will make the golf course more available to a wide variety of players.
So, Dan, one final thing on Phil Mickelson, because we know what a great story it was with Phil just a few months ago, and everybody that wins tournaments, sometimes people win tournaments, they come back the next week, they don't make the cut, so it's not unusual for that to happen in the professional golf world, but this was unusually bad for Phil, wasn't it?
He didn't do anything well on Thursday. I mean, there was no part of his game that looked good. You know, I have my own theory about Mickelson, and there's no way to prove it. But we know that Phil does the endorsements for an arthritis medication, and so we know that he has a condition. And I think sometimes Phil goes out, and he's just not physically able to play the way he wants to play. But he can't say anything because he's already endorsing the medication. Now, whether that's why he shot 80 or not, I don't know. But it looked like there was something wrong with him yesterday because like I said, he couldn't putt, he couldn't chip, he couldn't drive the ball, he couldn't hit irons, he couldn't do anything. And usually when that's going on, there's something more. He's physically not well, he's mentally off, whatever it might be. And as I said, I don't know that he will ever identify that because he's sort of tied into his endorsement, but I always wonder about that.
All right, Dan. Well, thanks for the update. It's been interesting because I told my wife, I said, I'm going to set the alarm for 3 a.m. and watch the British Open. Obviously, I didn't do that. And by the way, I still call it the British Open. I don't know. I guess the Open Championship is the official title, but I'm looking forward to the rest of the weekend. And enjoy it yourself, Dan Reardon. We'll talk soon.
Enjoy it, Mark. Have a nice trip.
Hey, Sue, remember John Ziegler? My friend John Ziegler was on the other day, and he was talking about the NCAA ruling and how it's going to affect collegiate sports in
yes.
the future. And I don't know that I would take issue with everything that John said. I didn't agree with him wholeheartedly. But listen to, this was some commentary on a podcast, I think Dave told me, from Charles Barkley. And Coach Mike Krzyzewski gets in on here. Because what Ziegler was saying is, look, you're going to have these kids. Let's say you got a kid from my high school, Parkway West. He's a football player. He's going to go where he can make the most money, right?
Yep.
That's what they're going to want to do.
It's true. I think that's a serious thing to consider.
Charles Barkley says,
you know, I talked about earlier, all these black kids, I'm not worried about their playing time. I'm worried about them getting their education more than anything in the world. But between his name, image, and likeness, this thing that just came down from the Supreme Court, I think we get ready for Armageddon. I mean, you said earlier, we're in trouble right now because I have no idea what's going to happen in the next few years of college sports. How many programs are going to be disbanded? How many sports are going to be canceled? Because it's clearly going to become an arms race. Because if I'm a kid, and I got to decide where to go to college. I said, football's a little bit different, but you're going to say to yourself, well, what can I sell the most jerseys? Where can I get a car deal? Mm-hmm. I'm going to a big school, but I only got to be there for 6 months. I'm really concerned where college athletics are going in the next 5 years. I'm really concerned about that.
So this is Coach K responding.
You guys have a right to be concerned. And I think universities will start making decisions as to just what they want to do with their intercollegiate sports programs. You know, do they want to go that route? You know, do the alumni, do the faculty, look, we're part of the university. We're not the university.
Yeah, that's interesting. I hope they're wrong, but obviously you got a guy like Coach K saying, you know what, it's going to take us down a bad path here with collegiate sports. We'll see.
Yeah, that's scary. Well, you know, when he was saying that the some things could be canceled, right? Okay, so if you are a smaller program or you don't have that much money and everybody just is after the money, then yes, what are you going to do at your smaller school?
I wanted to share this story, too. A couple other things here this afternoon. You'll like this one. There was a Georgia mom who took a picture of her son. Josie Rock is her name. She's 41 years old. She's from Gainesville. And her three-month-old son, Asher, she took a picture of him. They discovered after the picture, I'm going to explain this here in a second, that he had a rare form of cancer because the flash accidentally went off, exposing an abnormality in her son's right eye. So she says this way, I was just taking pictures of him. The lighting happened to change in our room. The flash caught the reflection. His eye was glowing white.
Oh.
So she's a nurse herself. She said she learned about something called, I don't even know if I can pronounce this, retinoblastoma, which is a type of eye cancer that begins in the back of the eye. It's most common in children. And tumors in the eye can be detected in photo flashes as white when the tumor covers what would typically be a red colored reflection of the retina. So look at the picture here. This is interesting. You know how you get the red eye? You have red eye, and then you have in the other eye, the little boy has a white eye. So she says she knew it right then. It was chilling to say the least. He's just a baby. So she took more cameras, shared them with the health professionals. And at this point, he's been diagnosed with grade D retinoblastoma, which is defined as a large or poorly defined tumor with widespread vitreous or subretinal seeding.
That's
at a risk of retinal detachment, which I had a risk of retinal detachment, which is why I have a little buckle around my right eye. But it says that he's being treated. He's undergone, this poor kid, 54 exams to date, and he's still being treated. He's 3 years old right now, I think, or he's older than that, because this happened a few years ago, and he's been going under treatment since then, which I thought was very, very interesting. All right, a couple other things that I got to get to, and we have audio cut of the day coming up later this hour. I thought this was interesting from Scott Gottlieb today on the mask mandate that is going back into L.A. County. I got a text last night from someone in L.A. that said, look, I wouldn't be surprised if Newsom kills this thing in L.A. County because it's going to affect his recall. Now, I don't know if that's going to happen, but they did institute a mask mandate again in Los Angeles County. It would not, I made the prediction earlier on the roundtable, wouldn't surprise me at all if when I come back from vacation, we're going to have that nonsense here in St. Louis County. We'll see what happens. Here's Scott Gottlieb.
I don't think it's the right move. I don't think you can tell people who've been vaccinated that they have to wear a mask. I think, quite frankly, it's likely to be the exception. I think you're likely to see very few states and municipalities do this because there's not going to be a lot of support for mandates at this point. People who are worried about COVID have largely been vaccinated. I realize not everyone has been able to get vaccinated, but most people have been vaccinated who are worried about this infection. And people who remain unvaccinated aren't worried about the infection and don't want to be wearing masks either. Now, the bottom line is that means this is just going to spread through the population. And that's why the models look so bad. There's some models being worked on right now. CDC has one, I'm told, that show an increasing epidemic, a wave of infection from this Delta variant moving through the population over the next 2 months. Those models, the assumptions built into those models is no mitigation, no mandates for masks, no closures of businesses. I think that's likely to be the norm. And also, you know, when you get vaccinated, you're less likely to spread the infection, less likely to contract the infection. So people who are vaccinated aren't putting the population, by and large, at risk. So telling them that they have to wear masks indoors, I think it creates a disincentive to go out and get vaccinated in the first place.
Okay, he's right about that. Even Dr. Fauci had to admit that when he was pressed a couple of months ago. It's nonsense. I mean, this is the same thing that was happening. And I want people to take this seriously, and I want people to get vaccinated. But this whole nonsense about wearing masks again, which, by the way, I'm still very, very suspicious about how much that did in the first place, because states that had mask mandates didn't really fare any better and sometimes worse than the states that did. So, well, I wish that we'd have Gottlieb in here giving more information. His tone throughout this whole thing, I think, has been very good. And we have Dr. McCarry, who's on every once in a while. What was his name? McCarry. He's on sometimes. Dave, remember his name? McCarry, I think, is his name. But one of his positions has been, why do we always just go to Dr. Fauci? Why can't we have Scott Gottlieb or Dr. McCarry or people like that?
I think the biggest concern is we can't shut anything down anymore. The country can't take it. The economy can't take it. And it just can't happen again. Good grief.
No,
it was so
absolutely
destructive.
But you let Sam Page get involved here, and believe me, they're going to try what they can. We have the UK Deputy Ambassador to the United States in town in the studio with us next. He's going to throw out the first pitch. They're playing cricket at Busch Stadium tonight, apparently.
Oh, wow.
Michael, that's fake news, Mark.
Tatham is coming up next. 97.1 FM Talk.
Critical thinking for critical times. You're listening to the number one talk station in St. Louis. A voice for the free exchange of ideas. This is 97.1 FM Talk.
How about this, Sue, for an intro? It's a royal intro this afternoon because we have the UK Deputy Ambassador to the United States, Michael Tatham, who is in the studio with us here in St. Louis this afternoon. We had to make it all fancy and official. How are you, Michael? Welcome to St. Louis.
Thanks very much, Mark. It's really great to be here. Thank you for having me on your show.
Well, this is your first trip here?
It's my first trip to St. Louis and my first trip to Missouri, yeah.
And you are going to throw out a googly tonight at Busch Stadium, I understand. Is this true? Can you confirm that?
I can confirm that I've been invited to do the first pitch, which is simultaneously both a
terrifying
massive honor
and terrifying.
And truly terrifying. But
yes.
All the more terrifying for someone who's British, because we don't play baseball. So I'm a huge baseball fan. But I've never played it, and I had to get a colleague, an American colleague in the embassy, to give me some intensive pitching instruction.
Okay, one issue, though, is it says on the bio you're a Mets fan. A little problematic here in St. Louis. Don't mention that again this weekend. That might be a good thing to keep
secret.
You're a Cardinals fan. So you've become a huge Cardinals fan, haven't you?
The Cardinals is definitely going to be my second favorite.
There you go. That's very
my second favorite.
You sound like a very diplomatic person, Michael.
No, but
I wonder.
Seriously, I'm a huge baseball fan, and you know, the Cardinals is one of those storied baseball teams, right?
It's absolutely. One of the best records, yeah, a lot of history
World Series
here, right?
Records. I remember somebody telling me a while ago, you know, if you want to see baseball in the U.S., you've got to go to three stadiums, and they were Busch, Fenway, and Wrigley. So
interesting. That's really interesting.
I'm really happy to be doing Busch.
That's great.
I'm really looking forward to the game. And although I am terrified about the first pitch, I'm
have you ever done it, Sue? Honored.
I'm the only one who hasn't
done it.
But listen, a lot of ugly pitches have happened before you. It will be fine. No matter what you do, it will be fine.
Have you got any advice, Mark?
Here's what people told me. People said, I had two different camps, right, Dave? Remember when I did this?
I remember.
They said, don't go out to the full mound. You know, just do it. But then people said, no, go out to the full mound. So when I was doing it, now they may do it a little differently, but they had a couple of different people doing the first pitch. And there was like a 12-year-old kid that went out, and he gets on the mound and just smokes one in there. So at that point, you can't.
You have a lot to live up to there.
Right. Yeah. I was like, this was a few years ago, but as like a 50-something dude, you can't go out there then after the 12-year-old throws a strike and pitch from below the pitching mound. But I don't look at the big screen, because when you go out there, they're going to show your noggin on the big screen. That'll be intimidating. I would throw high, just kind of lob one in there. Okay. That would. Because if you throw it, I think what happens to some people, if you're not used to pitching from a pitching mound, that's where it gets ugly. So, Dave, wouldn't you think kind of throw it a little higher?
Yeah, you don't want to bounce it.
Right, right. Okay. And that'd be the only advice. But you're going to have a blast. It really is going to be a lot of fun. And
so
you're
if it goes well, it's going to be because of my intensive training. And if it goes badly, it's because I listen to Mark's advice.
That's exactly right.
100%.
I will take the blame. Look, we are very – I will say this, that it was definitely on my list to go last year to London, England, and see the Cubs and the Cardinals play. And it was just heartbreaking that didn't happen. We were very disappointed.
We were really disappointed. It would have been a huge event in the UK. It would have generated a lot of excitement. I've been to an NFL game at Wembley Stadium, and it's like the every American living in the United Kingdom converges on Wembley, and it's like a sort of festival of the sport. So to have had the Cardinals and the Cubs, and that's like those two are big rivals, right?
Big rivals.
Bringing their rivalry to London. That would have been epic. And
has that been rescheduled? Do we know?
I never heard that it was.
I don't think it's yet been rescheduled. But we would love to for it to happen.
Michael, what brings you here to St. Louis? A bunch of things, right?
A bunch of things. Look, when you're a diplomat, you're based in the capital city. But I think one thing we've learned is that can give you a pretty distorted perspective of any country that you're living in. So we try and get out and about. We have a diplomatic footprint across the U.S. of consulates and of great honorary consuls. We've got a great honorary consul, Mark Sutherland, here in St. Louis. He has kindly arranged a program for me here. So I've been having various meetings today. So partly it's for me. It's about seeing the country in which I work and understanding it better. It's partly because Missouri is an important state for the UK. It's a big trading partner for us. The UK is the fourth biggest country in terms of exports from Missouri. About 20,000 jobs in Missouri are for UK companies that are operating here. About 8,000 Missouri jobs are supported by exports to the UK. So there's a good foundation in terms of trading relationship. We would love to build on that. And then the other thing is a lot of the work that we do in the embassy has a nationwide dimension to it. We're doing a lot of work on climate change ahead of the COP26 summit that will take place in the UK in November. There's a huge amount that's going on in that space at subnational level in states, cities, universities, and so on. So it's really good for us to visit major cities like St. Louis, and I've been having a really interesting set of meetings here today. And tomorrow, I am taking a day off to see the city at my leisure and to do some tourism here.
That's awesome. Well, Mr. Sutherland, jump on the mic here real quick, because Mark's always great with us. He comes in here. Where are you taking Michael to see some of the sites here? What's on the list? Wait, let me make sure I have the right mic on. Hold on.
Michael is actually
taking care of himself tomorrow. He just wants to explore and see. Recommendations are definitely accepted.
Do you have anything that you have on your list?
There's definitely two things on the list, right? One is that I've done various postings in various countries, and a few years ago I was British ambassador to Bosnia and Herzegovina, and that's a
big community here. Absolutely
lovely people, and I'm told that the biggest Bosnian community outside Bosnia and Herzegovina is right here in St. Louis. I'm told that there are excellent cafes and restaurants in
Bevo Mill. These things are true.
So I will get down there definitely at some point tomorrow and indulge in some culinary nostalgia. I'm a big music fan, so I'll try and get to the Museum of Blues, right?
Yeah, which is located just a couple of blocks from here.
Okay.
Blues Museum, yeah.
I'll try and get there. So it's going to be a good day tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it.
Let's talk music. Let's find some common ground here on music since you're a music fan. What are you into, Michael? Let's hear the music taste. Because you have bad taste in baseball with the Mets, but I think you can redeem yourself here on music.
I am a huge Bob Dylan fan.
Yeah, I saw that on the bio, too. Are you a Springsteen guy?
I am a Springsteen guy.
Okay, because I'm a big Springsteen guy, but interestingly enough, I'm not a big Dylan guy. Have all kinds of respect for him, don't get me wrong, but he's not one of my go-to artists that I listen to or go see in concert very often.
Well, that's okay. There's no compulsion here, but I am a big Springsteen fan. I saw him. He was actually, when I was a teenager, he was, definitely my favorite musician. He sort of got supplanted a little bit as I got older, but I still think he's a terrific musician. I still have incredible memories of his UK tour in 1985. Sorry, I'm dating myself.
The Born in the USA
1985.
Tour. Yeah,
he was
right.
Born in the USA tour. I saw him play at Wembley on the 4th of July.
Oh,
when
that's cool.
The set with Independence Day. I saw him a couple of days later at Roundhay Park in near Leeds. That was a great tour.
So you may be able to speak to this. I know you'll be able to speak to this. I'm assuming you've seen shows here in the States, but and I've mentioned this before, and I hope that we're going to open up and be able to do these things, but it's been on my bucket list to see the E Street Band in Europe, in Italy, in France, in Spain, in London, whatever, because the European crowds are very different. We're told the energy, younger crowds. I want to see that in person and experience that.
Yeah.
Can you vouch for that?
I can vouch for I've never seen the Boss here in the US, but on those concerts that I've seen him in the UK, that the atmosphere was incredible. It was passionate. And both, actually, now I think about it, Wembley, it's a big stadium. It's very hard to generate atmosphere there. And Roundhay Park was a sort of massive natural amphitheater. So you have to be an incredible musician. You have to work really hard to really generate excitement. But he can absolutely do that.
He keeps doing it. He gets older. He's in his 70s now, and it's amazing. Michael Tatham is with us. He's the UK Deputy Ambassador to the United States. He's in St. Louis. He's going to throw the first pitch out at Busch Stadium tonight. Did I also hear of you toured the NGA, or is that on the list?
I did, yeah. No, I was at the NGA earlier today. That was a great set of meetings. The UK cooperates, obviously, closely with the NGA, so it was good to talk about that. But really good also to hear from the NGA about their plans, right, to move to this this new campus. I thought that was really impressive.
Yeah.
I think they're doing
it. Big project here in St. Louis. There was a lot of fighting over that, and it ended up pretty well for the city, so that's a good thing.
No, a big project. And I thought what was really impressive about it is, some of these organizations that are sort of in the security space can be quite low-key and sort of secretive and so on. But I really liked the way that, when they were talking about this move that they were going to do, they're doing it thinking about how they can contribute to the community, how they can work with local
organizations.
Well, that's
a big part of it.
Absolutely. How they can attract talent, how they can dock into this incredible kind of environment that's being created here in St. Louis of support to small businesses and startups. I think that's going to be a really exciting project. I would love to come back in, I think it's 2025, and see it when it's come through to completion.
Are you aware of the soccer project?
I am.
Yeah, that's cool too. If you come back at that time, you'll be able to see games at the stadium too. We're excited about that. That was another thing that kind of dragged on for a while. We got it done, and then the pandemic hits. On that front, Michael, how long has it been since you've been home?
It's been a while now. It's been over 18 months.
Okay, so you have not been back. Can you speak to the state of COVID in the UK right now?
I can. Obviously, I follow it closely. As it happens, my wife and daughter are taking a break in the UK at the moment. I think it's still a concerning situation. And what we're finding is that the infection rates in the UK are currently on the rise because of the Delta variant. So that's concerning. I think the really good news in the UK is that we are making a lot of progress on vaccination. Our vaccination rates are high and are growing. I think that means that even with the rise of infection, the rise in hospitalizations is manageable. You know, we're making good progress on vaccination, but you know, still the COVID is a source of concern in the UK and a major preoccupation.
Am I to understand, is there something though going to happen on Monday? Is there more reopening in the UK on Monday?
I think
thought
more
there was
reopening,
right? And that's despite which is interesting because despite the variant taking off.
It's despite the increase in infection, but I think it's a reflection of the fact that the high levels of vaccination that we've had in the UK mean that notwithstanding that, it's still something that you can do at a manageable level of risk.
Well, one final question, and I think you're going to be able to do this when you come back in a couple of years. Can you bring Boris Johnson with you? I think he'd be fun to hang out with. You have to have some sway, Michael. Come on.
Just
give me his cell phone or something like that.
He's a big fan of America. He's very committed to the bilateral relationship. He was born in America, and
I think I'd forgotten about that.
He's written a book about Winston Churchill, and of course, there's a very strong Winston Churchill connection.
Well, I don't know if you have time tomorrow, but the Churchill Museum in Fulton is really cool.
No,
it really is.
I would absolutely love to go to that. I won't have time tomorrow to go to Fulton.
But largest contiguous piece of the wall in the U.S. is there. Yeah. Yeah. Right there in Fulton at Westminster College.
Yeah, I studied history, so I remember kind of the historical significance of that speech. And actually, also what's kind of sort of interesting for me is that Churchill traveled from Washington D.C., where he stayed in the British ambassador's residence, it is said that he sort of wrote the speech.
Really?
There ahead of delivering it in Fulton.
That's cool.
So there is a sort of, and we have a very great relationship with that museum. I think its director is going to be at the game today, so I'm looking forward to
put it on your list.
I can't give you a guarantee, Mark, about the Prime Minister.
Well, that's
is that it's definitely something he would love to do because of his strong personal interest in Churchill.
Well, thank you so much for coming in. And again, welcome to St. Louis. Have fun at the stadium tonight. Enjoy, hopefully, a good game. The Cardinals haven't been the greatest this year, and we're a little spoiled. That typically doesn't happen. Mr. Sutherland, thank you very much. You don't
My
have
pleasure.
Headphones on, but I am appropriately going out with God Save the Queen, Michael. I just want you to know that. So thank you so much. Great to see you guys.
Thank you very much, Mark.
I mentioned I'm about to go on vacation. I don't know if I mentioned that at all, this show, for the last 3 hours. Like, minutes away. Hey, Sue, remember, Dave, too, we talked about the, I think it was the Wall Street Journal piece that I said it, with all the people, or New York Times, the people that are getting these fancy degrees, or they're not fancy degrees, and then they think they're going to be able to spend, pay their student loans back.
A liberal arts degree, and then they want to pay back $150,000.
So there was another group of people that chimed in on this, asking the question, college majors that should be avoided. I love
Mass Comm.
Well, that's up there because, look, mine is too, Dave. Journalism. But this person actually says something that I think is important. Now, I think higher education is good for some people. For some people, it's just not right. But they say getting involved in student publications, media, is way more important than classes. That's absolutely – journalists are not hired based off their degree. They're not, which is why
This is so true.
It is true. I worked in radio when I was 15, and I started doing as much as I can just to get experience. But there are some people that go, they think just going to school is going to get you a job somewhere with no experience.
Nope.
That does not happen. Here's another one. Standalone language majors. How are you, a student, learning a language in 4 years, going to compete with a bilingual speaker who also has skills for the workforce? You must pair it with something else.
Oh, that's
or
a good point.
Or go overseas. I mean, you can do that major, but I think spend some time
overseas using
Spain
it.
Or
sure.
China.
Yeah,
exactly.
Immersion. Yes.
If you don't plan on getting at least a master's degree, avoid psychology.
For sure.
I've known several servers, bartenders, and receptionists that have their degree in psychology, even a few that ended up in retail. Yes, psychology.
I have a minor in it.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. But that's only 12 hours.
That's serving you well.
Yeah. Huh? Come to Dr. Sue.
Art history. That's one they say avoid. Nobody
well,
can
you
find
could
a
teach
job there.
That, right? I don't know what. Well, maybe you could be a museum person, but those are rare, right? There's not a ton of.
Right.
Here's one. Unless you eat, sleep, and breathe architecture, do not even consider it as a major. You will spend more money, more sleepless nights, and more of your sanity than any other student. Unless you have the passion necessary to make those sacrifices, forget it, learn from my mistakes. That's just one person, though. Who knows? Anyway, I thought that was interesting. All right, number one songs this day in history.
These are number two.
Yes, I was going to say, we've done something differently. This is a way we close the show on Friday, number one songs this day in history. And we go back to 1971. What's happened, though, is the number ones have been so
So that's what
same.
We're doing.
Yeah,
I got
do number twos
they're stale. So here's what was number two. It didn't, well, maybe it did crack
Wait,
number one.
Wait, what was the number one? Okay, now I want to know what that was.
Well, we're not going to tell you. Cherokee people. Because Paul Revere and the Raiders was number two back in 1971. So proud to live. All I know is that in 1981, it was Kim Carnes, Betty Davis Eyes.
Of course it was.
And it was this former Beatle, George Harrison, with All Those Years Ago. That was a big hit in 1981.
I know a lot of the songs. I don't know this one.
You don't know this one?
No.
Oh, I like this one. Big hit, too. I'm not so sure. Well, if it wasn't a number one, it was because of stupid Kim Carnes.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I like this song, too. You're unbelievable. 1991. Remember the band? Who remembers the band? Dave, you do, because you pulled the song, right?
I couldn't tell you what it stands for, but it's...
What is it?
EMF.
Number one this year, by the way, was Paula Abdul.
Paula Abdul.
She can dance. Not so much saying.
This was number two in... 2001,
yeah.
Hanging by a Moment.
They faded away.
Good song.
It is.
Whatever happened to them? We could have had it. As a former number one, or soon to be number one, Adele was number two. And then, right now, she's on a vaccine campaign. And this is like the opposite of that driver's license song.
Oh,
or whatever,
you're
right.
It really is.
And this one, this is Olivia Rodrigo.
Let
Remember
me hear.
The driver's license song that was number one for like... 3 months. I just love that. So, better song than the last one. I just think it's very different. There are your number one songs this day in history.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
All right. I have several options, but I'm going to go with one of my favorite comedians, one of the funniest guys out there. He's a great actor, too, Mr. Bill Burr. Talking about our friends at CNN.
My mother-in-law comes over to help watch the kids, and she always puts on CNN. And do you know what those morons are doing? Do you know what those morons are doing? They're talking about Trump. I swear to God, I cannot believe people watch that channel. They're so dumb. It's like, do you think these people give a they want Darth Vader to come back. They want him to come back because they got nothing to talk about because it's show business and Joe Biden is a bore. They can't bitch about him because he's wearing a blue tie. So now what do? They're going out there. They're doing what they did the first time to get this guy elected by giving him all this free coverage while they act like they allegedly don't like him. I don't buy it.
Yep.
I don't buy it. They're a corporate news channel. And they're treasonous, un-American pieces of shit.
That is Bill Burr on his podcast. He's coming to St. Louis to the Fox in just a couple of months. I'll go out with my song pick of the week. We featured this a couple of days ago. It's kind of a fascinating story. Some people don't like the song. It's an Italian band named Maneskin hitting big internationally with a song that was remade from the 1960s, The Four Seasons. It's called Beggin'. And this song is actually 4 years old, but all of a sudden it broke out. That I don't know. Won't even stand, I never stand to be my soul.
Why we chilling? Why we chasing? Why? Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly
Auto Parts. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.